Hello, I'm T.S. Wright, founder and president of the God Center Concept and host of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. Our mission is clear. We are here to help spark a great harvest, a revival, if you will, across the United States. That's why we are launching the 2540 campaign. Over the next 40 days, we're going to ask people to join us, just like you, and to give a one-time tax-deductible gift of $25 and partnering us with this mission, and then sharing this vision with other people so we can expand our reach in powerful ways. God is calling us to work, and together we can see lives transformed and hearts awaken. You can simply scan this QR code or go to www.godcenteredconcept.com to make this one-time gift to our ministry. Thank you for being a part of this community. Your prayers and your support mean more than you will ever know. May God bless you in all that He calls you to do. And as we always say here, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth with the purpose of spreading revival. Now, your host, T.S. Wright. Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads. I'm your host, T.S. Wright, and I am so glad you guys could join us today. And if you haven't already, make sure you hit that follow, subscribe button, give us a quick like, as we love continuing to bring you great content. And that helps us when you do that. We so much thank you for being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. Today, we have a special guest. Her name is Rachel Kerr Schneider, and she has a book that she wants to talk to you about, and a little bit about her story as well, and her faith walk with Christ. So we're going to dive into that in just a minute. Rachel, I want to first welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you, T.S. It's always good to be with another fellow Southerner. My heart, you know, I grew up in Jackson, Mississippi, so the fact that you're in Arkansas, we've been neighbors for a long time.
That is great. And Rachel, I tell you what, I've been through Jackson, Mississippi a few times. I actually went there back in 1994. I was there during the summer, during July, the hottest part of the year. So yes. And of course, there was some famous Civil War battles fought all through there between Jackson and Vicksburg, as Ulysses S. Grant, the famous general, led an entire campaign through there to, and then the siege of Vicksburg. So for some of you historians, you will know all about that.
And exactly. One of the most
important campaigns of the war. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't know that. So anyway, enough of that part. Let's get off my history box, and let's get back to the Rachel box and her book. So, Rachel, what I would like you to do right now is to talk to our audience and give them an understanding of just what your journey has been like. You know, talk about how this all developed, and well, you know what? You just take it from there.
All right, T.S., I can do that. And you know, your show is aptly named Kingdom Crossroads because we all reach a crossroads in our life. And sometimes we may be in the middle of one, you know, right now. And I will tell you that I grew up in a very faith-built home. My father was Southern Baptist. My mother was an immigrant from Ukraine. So she chose the Lutheran Church. So I grew up, I was in church all day on Sunday and then Wednesday night. So I got a lot of biblical knowledge. I got a lot of biblical information from two very different religions, so to speak. But I always grew up knowing that there was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I might not have understood all of them, but I knew that they all three existed as a Trinity. I went through confirmation in the Lutheran Church at the age of 16. So I guess that's when I made my, what most people would say is their public declaration of my statement of faith. And so, you know, I I knew all the people in the Bible, the stories. I knew the Ten Commandments. I knew the creeds. I knew all of those things. And so I was very much aware of the Lord in my life. So I, you know, went on my way, and went to college, left Jackson, went to Dallas, and there I met and married my husband, John. We were married in the Lutheran church. We traveled, he was climbing the corporate ladder, and I was the trailing spouse. That's a term some of your audience may remember, but that's for the wife who chooses to support her husband as he does what he needs to do for his career. And I know a lot of gals are still doing that. And sometimes it's not a lot of fun. It can be very hard to relocate, find a new occupation, and rebuild a home while your man is out there, you know, doing what he needs to do. But nevertheless, John and I were married, and we took off for everywhere, parts unknown, Philadelphia, all the way to Seattle, to San Francisco, back to Dallas, up to Minnesota, back to Dallas, Chicago. We were all over the place. And so
you said you lived in Chanhassen at one point, correct?
I did.
So I lived in Eden Prairie at one point, and I'm very familiar with the southwest suburbs of Minneapolis. So yes.
So we've been neighbors a long time, T.S. We just didn't know it.
I know. I was there from 2000 to 2006.
Okay. And I got there right after you left, because John was actually diagnosed in 2008. So I think I must have gotten there maybe 2006, 2005. So you were leaving and I was coming and I was coming in. And yes. I will tell you, and you'll identify with this, because when you've grown up in the South, we have a very open perspective about our faith. You know, yes. we go out to eat and we say our prayers. Amen. I mean, it's not a big deal. We stand in the line and we're talking about what happened at church on Sunday, or we're cooking what we're going to cook for Sunday dinner. That's the way I grew up. I will tell you, going to Minnesota was different. It was different. I didn't find that to be quite the case. It took me a while to find my tribe, and it took me a while to find that right church too. And I'm sure that's been a process a lot of your audience has probably dealt with in time too, and you yourself with all of your relocation. But we did find a church, and that Minnesota Nice. It does exist. It was a little hard to get to, but it is a true thing. And you know, my husband had accepted the biggest position ever. He was running a really big company for a truck manufacturer. He was one of their largest distributors, and it was very busy, and he was doing the thing that he always wanted to do. And I had these two little boys, and I had a business that I could work from home, and life was really good. And then we got a piece of news. John had been seeing a neurologist unbeknownst to me for about a year. His left foot had dropped. And having been an athlete in high school and college, and being a fairly good one at that, he just thought, oh, it's just something, you know, that it'll take care of itself. Right. I probably pulled a muscle or did something. He had an appointment for his executive physical at the Mayo Clinic, and the neurologist said, I want you to take this file with you, have them look at it. And he was set to go do that on his own. I was going to stay home with the boys. And he called me and said, I'm coming back home. It was a 2.5-hour drive from Rochester. You may know that. Yep. Mayo is considered like the mothership of anything medical, right? Mayo is it. So he came in that night. The boys were asleep. I was reading in bed. And he looked at me white as a ghost. And he said, they think I have this disease. I'm going to die. And I looked at him. And my husband was not a very dramatic person, not prone to exaggerate the facts. And I looked at him. I said, John, slow down. He said, they think I have this thing called ALS. And I looked at him and I said, ALS? What is that? And he said, it's Lou Gehrig's disease. And I said, I still don't know what that is. And T.S., I'll tell you, that's not unusual, because ALS is only – there are only 30,000 people in the United States right now at any given time that have it. There are between 5 and 6,000 that are diagnosed with it every year. So if you've never heard of it and don't know of it, that's understandable. If you relate that to Alzheimer's, there are about 6 million, 7 million people that are living with Alzheimer's right now. So it's a very different sized community. Anyway, they did find that it's a diagnosis of they have to rule out diagnosis of elimination. So long story short, they gave us the news. And when they do tell you that you have ALS, they also tell you that you only have between 2 and 5 years and there's nothing they can do. There's no known cause. There's no known treatment. When you get news like that, you just go into shock. I mean, your world stands still. And I know that all of us have probably had some news that has just put us in a place that we just didn't know what to do. We could hardly catch our breath. Yeah. Right?
Yes.
So it was... There. You've been there, and I know all of us. You know, one of the things that I like to remind people of is, who are we to think, TS, that we would get through this world without any kind of suffering? When we think about what Christ, our Lord and Savior, did for us on that cross,
Amen.
What He went through, the humiliation, the beating, the crucifixion, the torture. I mean, who are we to think that we're not going to get out of this world unscathed? And so it doesn't make our faith. What I have realized is that when that happened, I knew the only way I was going to get through this was through my faith and through my relationship, my personal relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
The biblical knowledge is wonderful. And that is how you deepen relationship with anyone, right? You spend time with them. You learn about them. You have conversation through our prayer. And so I knew all that. But at this point, man, Jesus became so real to me because I knew that that's the only way I was going to get through this. Yep. So we waited a year. Our boys were very young. We waited a year before we told them, because that's the thing about ALS. It's progressive. It takes people sometimes years to figure out that they have it.
Yep.
The body does self-paralyze. The motor neurons that carry the messages from the brain to the muscle, they die.
Yep.
And what happens is the individual just becomes trapped in their own body. They know everything. Their mind is so acute and so aware. But eventually, because the diaphragm is a muscle, it moves the lungs, you lose the ability to breathe.
Yes. And unfortunately, what happens on top of all that is that, and I'm aware of what ALS is on top of that, you can't even, like, before you lose the function of breathing, you lose the function, I want you guys to think about it, of eating. You lose the function of your hands. You lose the function of your feet. I mean, all those things slowly deteriorate before the breathing stops. The breathing's like the last thing. And I mean, of course, that would make sense. But it's, yeah, I'm familiar with ALS. And I know
how do you, what has been, what has been your experience with ALS, TS? Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not going to talk about it here on air because there's a personal situation.
Okay.
But I will say this, that I have done, because of a situation I'm aware of, I have done some research on it to understand what was going to happen and all of those things when I found out that there was somebody that I knew that had it.
Yes, it's brutal. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy.
No.
I would not wish it on my worst enemy. And the fact that there, you know, I was like, wait a second, we live in America. Anything is possible. This is the land of the free. What do you mean we can't? There's nothing you can do. Are you kidding me?
No.
Yeah. So
people have to realize is that in your spinal cord and your brain and through those, and I teach psychology, there are parts of your body that don't regenerate.
Yes.
And that's the problem, is that as those, quote, motor neurons die, mm-hmm. you know, that's basically, think of that as being the cells of your nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
And so they carry the messages and they do all that. When they die, there's no regeneration. And that's why ALS does what it does to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's brutal. And, you know, it's like I said, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. No. And so, John, you know, we told our children and both the boys, and they only had three questions. The first one was, is dad going to be in a wheelchair? Yes, dad's going to be in a wheelchair. Is dad going to get out of the wheelchair? Probably not. And then is dad going to get better? And that's the one that, you know, you just, especially when you're dealing with younger kids and trying to give them some information, imparting it to adults is hard enough, right? But basically, I just said, you know what, boys, he probably won't. But, you know, we say our prayers every night. We serve an almighty God who can cure anyone of anything at any time. And so we're just going to take really good care of him in the meantime. Yep. And I'll tell you, T.S., I really believed that if anybody was going to be cured, healed of ALS, it was going to be John. I mean, for 2 years in, I really believed that. And then at the beginning of the third year, when John's decline just became more straight line, I had to finally come to the realization that this story wasn't going to end. Right. My big miracle wasn't going to happen on this side.
Right. Yeah. And that's the unfortunate truth. And, mm-hmm. you know, and here's what I tell people. Even if a miracle happens, and I've been around a few, okay. I've actually experienced, I'll say this, I've seen a few healings. I've been a part of a few. I'm not going to get into details about that. I saw somebody that came back to life after dying. And so I'll just say I'm aware of that. But here's the thing. Remember this. Even if you ever see that, experience it, witness it, whatever, remember, it's temporary. Mm-hmm. It's just prolonging their life. Okay. We physically are eventually going to die anyway. I mean, Lazarus was raised from the dead after being dead for 3 days, right?
Yes.
Guess what? Eventually he passed away anyway.
He did.
It did. And so we're going to depart from this life at some point. That's why the gospel message is so important, because once we depart, mm-hmm. regardless of what it is, that the way that we depart, we want to be in right standing with God.
Exactly.
Because the real miracle is when somebody receives Jesus. That is the real miracle. That is the most important miracle of anybody's life, regardless of all the other things. We think that, you know, science, being able to heal somebody, or, you know, if it's Jesus healing them through the power of the Holy Spirit or whatever, mm-hmm. those are not the most important miracles. The most important miracle is somebody receiving Jesus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, you're so right. And I think that when you do know, because we all know, like you just said, we're not going to be here forever.
No.
You know, we just got the information about John's departure a lot sooner, right? I mean, we had critical information. We had a timeline. And I think when you do know that, well, of course, it changes everything about the way you live.
Yep.
and about the way you communicate, and about the way, yes, that your faith is fortified as well. And helping John finish well, for me, became a priority, and helping him really be able to understand where he was going and what was waiting for him. And I know he would look at me sometimes, because I was talking to Jesus all the time, and he'd look over and he'd go, "Who are you talking to?" I go, "I'm talking to Jesus." He go, "About what?" I go, "Well, I'm having a minute over here. I need to tell him this, you know." And I think too, I did seek out. I will tell you, I had to seek out a therapist, a faith-based therapist, because I had never helped anybody die before. And I knew that I was going to be left with these two little kids. And it was interesting what she said to me, T.S. I walked in there one day and I said, "I don't understand this. I want to understand why I'm tired. I'm worn out. I'm not eating. I'm not sleeping. I want to understand this. I have faith. I love Jesus. I know that God is in control. I don't understand. Shouldn't this be easier? Shouldn't this be easier? And she looked at me and she said, Rachel, she said, Jesus was a man.
Yep.
You're not Jesus. He had 12 guys helping him. Yep. And T.S., he didn't have to have those guys, right?
No.
He chose them.
Yep.
And they created a lot of havoc for him, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it made it harder.
Exactly.
Not easier.
Yeah, exactly.
And one of them ended up being a dud. I mean, turning against him and betrayed him.
Exactly. And I'm just thinking, okay, you know what? It's okay now for me to admit this is hard. I don't like it. And I need some help. And I'm going to take help. However people think they can give it to me, I need to accept that. I need to be willing and accept that. And so that was a turning point for me in recognizing and allowing people to help me, whatever it might look like. And I think too, that sometimes, you know, we get a little caught up in, oh, I can do this. I can do this. No, we need our community. We were not meant to do this alone. No. At all. Yeah.
No, we're not islands.
No,
we're not cowboys and cowgirls. We don't, you know, we're meant to be in community and we're meant to walk through with people.
Exactly. Exactly. And we need to remember too, that our suffering is never wasted.
Nope.
It's never wasted. And even though it may seem pointless or we don't know why, what is the point of all of this? Sometimes we'll figure it out. Sometimes it is revealed to us. And sometimes it isn't. And that's why it took me, I knew while I was, and then after John did pass, my oldest son went down the road of addiction. And it took me a while to figure that out. And that's going to be part two. That's going to be the boys, the Bible, and the battles. Yep. And about me being widowed at 49, my boys being 14 and 10. And you being a dad, you know that that's usually the time in their life when they start to bond with their father. If you have a son, that's when they're designed to pull away from their mother.
Yep.
And, you know, I wasn't designed to be a dad. And so me taking that on and then not having any experience with addiction, That was a whole new road as well. And remember, this was 14 years ago. What we know about mental health, what we know about addiction, all of that has changed so much. There's so many more resources available to us in that regard. So that was the next part. That was the next part of the story. And God has remained faithful as always. My son now is 28, clean and sober, has made me a yaya. And that's, yes, thank you, Lord, for that. And so it's, you know, as I said earlier, your podcast is appropriately named because we all have crossroads and we all get to choose. And to your point early about it being a miracle, that is the miracle. We get to choose to make Christ our Lord and Savior. We get to choose. Yeah.
Amen. So one thing I'm going to say to our viewers out here is that,
yes,
unfortunately, suffering is a part of life. And Jesus told us this. I mean, mm-hmm. it's implanted throughout the gospel.
Yeah.
And if you go and read the New Testament, it's implanted in the New Testament. Suffering's mm-hmm. going to come. It's not that we're not going to be in the middle of suffering. We're not going to be in the middle of the storms. It's how you walk through the storms. And it's really about who you walk through the storms with. That's the key. And the first mm-hmm. with and the first who has got to be Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus is the key. And he's the one that takes us through these storms. And so, and it's placing our faith in him, even when it's hard. Guess what? He experienced it all. There's nothing that you've experienced mm-hmm. that he is not familiar with. There's nothing. And so we need to remember that.
Yeah, you are absolutely right. And we also need to remember too, T.S., that he left us. He gifted us with the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And I think so many times we forget that we have that power, that supernatural superpower inside of us,
yep,
that we can stir up and call on anytime.
That's right.
Anytime. And I know, you know, the Holy Spirit does remain a mystery, but yet it does live and breathe inside of us. And
amen.
And I think if we could remember that more often than not, we can find ourselves fortified to meet some of these challenges too.
Amen. Well, Rachel, I hate to cut this short because we could continue to talk and explore all these different areas. But Rachel, if somebody wants to get a hold of your book, any of the other things that you have out there, how can they do that?
Well, they can get the book on Amazon. It is available there. It's also available on Audible too. I recorded it myself. It's about 5 hours in length, but if that's your jam, please feel free to do that. My website is spiritedprosperity.com. And basically, you know, it's all about living a prosperous life with the Holy Spirit in charge of that. And prosperity looks different. It's not just the financial, it's the emotional, it's the mental, it's the physical. So that's where you can find me. There's a community online where we can offer you some support if you find yourself going through a challenge similar like this.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, we're going to wrap it up here. And Rachel, I'm just glad you were able to come on the show. We're going to include all this stuff in our show notes. And okay, this has been awesome. And I think talking about some of these things that you're going to walk through these type of storms in your life, I think is just helpful to remind us that there is a God who cares about you and will lead you. So,
absolutely.
Kingdom Crossroad community, all of our fellow listeners, thank you for joining us today and being a part of this Kingdom Crossroads community. Remember, our website is www.godcenteredconcept.com. And thank you for joining us. And on behalf of myself and Rachel, I am T.S. Wright. Now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. I just want to give our big shout out this week to all the fine people who listen to us in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And we just want to thank you for your support and all that you do for the Kingdom Crossroads community and for the God Center concept, as you guys have been faithful witnesses and listeners to this program. And we just pray that for your community, we pray over your community and pray that you will continue to not only listen, but to help us spread the word about this message. We thank you so much and have a blessed, blessed week as we pray over you and pray that your community will continue to be blessed and that God will use you to fulfill all his purposes. Thank you again to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.